Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, and I just moved my microphone, which made quite a noise there. Thanks so much for jumping on today. This is actually episode 150, which seems a little bit crazy. What is the podcast? 2 years old? 2 years old? Something like that. Been pretty consistent with popping one out nearly every week, except for the last 2 or 6 weeks or so, where I was traveling, so it's a little bit tricky to just coordinate podcasting and then to record 6 or 7 in advance before I left. It's always a little bit of a stretch to pop them all in. So anyway, we have hit 150, which is super exciting. So thank you so much for being here, being part of my podcast journey, being part of my business journey. It's always a pleasure to connect with new people. And then also to be able to educate and empower you guys to overcome bloating, fatigue, period pain, all those things that you should not be struggling with, which is kind of the topic that I want to chat about today, is medical gaslighting. So when your GP says you're fine, but you're actually not and you've got symptoms happening. So the term gaslighting is actually, I feel like, more of a dating term now and something we do relate to dating, not so much the medical industry and what your GP is saying about you or telling you. But it's the same concept in that idea that you are presenting your symptoms to the GP and they're saying it's not real or it's not actually like that. So it makes you doubt your reality. And I guess the term in dating is you're saying something to someone and they'll be like, well, you're being too sensitive, or that's not true, or I didn't do that. So then you doubt going, oh, flip, maybe I'm being too sensitive. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe that didn't happen how I thought it happened. Maybe my perception is totally out. So when that happens in your health or in the medical industry, you start to think, are these symptoms just in my head? So we start to gaslight women and the things that they are struggling with, which I think is a really common but painful and horrible way of dealing with women's symptoms. But I do think it is normal. And I don't actually just think that. I know it's normal because I work with hundreds and hundreds, or I've worked with thousands of women, and I've all said the same things. My GP told me that I just have IBS and I just need to live with it, or it's just in my head, or it's just stress, where the reality is that there's so much more going on and that your symptoms are validated and they are important and they are real. They are not made up and they are not just a term where we can just give a BS diagnosis and be like, okay, that's what you got, and goodbye, out the door, go take your laxatives and stop whinging about being constipated. So I think it's time to call bullshit on the medical practice or the medical industry that is affecting the well-being of women. And I guess now, like, the way we say is people assigned to female at birth. So having to wait months for an appointment, or having non-gynecologist specialists make rude comments about our bodies, which is pretty awful too, is that term medical gaslighting. It's not only dangerous, it's wrong, and it's happening all the time because I see it. Like, I have women come, even women I'm working with now, they'll go to the GP and I'll be like, hey, look, you've got really high inflammatory markers, there's like high calprotectin. I think you should go get a second opinion from a medical specialist because this is the quota of my knowledge and I can't deal with it if it's polyps or cysts or cancer or there's Crohn's or something in that large intestine. We need to know more about what's going on. And then going to the GP and the GP go, nah, it can't be. It's not really anything. Like, those results aren't even real. Sending them to a gastroenterologist, getting more calprotectin, inflammatory markers, and then going, oh shit, there's something going on here. That's frustrating because you've extended that period of time where that person's struggling with those symptoms and without answers. So when medical professional, sorry, when they dismiss or downplay your medical concerns, that is medical gaslighting. And the statistics say, from what I found, is that one in three have had their health concerns dismissed by medical practitioners, saying, obviously, you know, it's just in your head or it's not important. This dismissive is actually very common in conditions like endometriosis, PCOS, where there's classic misdiagnosis, or they're not running all the full testing to understand whether it's insulin, whether it's adrenal, whether it's got to do with the pill, whether it's autoimmune. So you're not only living with the pain of these symptoms, there's deeper underlying things like infertility, for example, or pushing that timeline of wanting to have a baby back because you're like, shivers, I've only just been diagnosed now and I do need to go for surgery, or I do need to work on my immune system, or I do need to clear SIBO, or I do need to work on gut infections before I'm going to be able to conceive a healthy baby. I think it's really important to know that you, to put it properly, you know your body best, right? So not that you have the answers, because you don't generally, but you know that you've got symptoms. And that's why you push to go get testing, because you want to get to the root cause of what's going on. One test may not give you all the answers, but it'll give you direction, and it'll give you direction of diagnosis. Because sometimes we do just want a diagnosis, even if there's nothing we can do about it at that point. You just want validation that it's real and you're not just being a sook or lazy or tired, or you're not just a busy, overworked woman. You actually have an autoimmune condition. So you've actually got the body is attacking itself, and that's why you're so exhausted. That's why your periods are so heavy. That's why they're so painful, because you've got medical things going on. It's not just you being like, oh, I'm such a sook, like I've just got another painful period and maybe this is normal and that's what everyone goes through, and listen to me whinging every month and everyone's got to put up with me. The reality is I don't have painful periods. Maybe I'll get a little bit of pain on the first day, maybe, but not always, and it's definitely not common for me. But I can have female clients who have, you know, sometimes severe pain for a couple of days. They can't work, they can't exercise, they need to take Panadol, and that's become their norm. And these things need to be looked into, okay? So some of the real common things that you might hear, if you're like, wait, that sounds like me, I think I've been medically gaslighted. Some of these things, like, I'm sure it's nothing. So this is when the medical professional, so your general practitioner or your doctor, will actually eat away your confidence in your own experience, okay? So if they're dismissing your symptoms and saying, I'm sure it's nothing, they're saying that your physical and your emotional symptoms are either exaggerated, or they're in your head, or they're simply not important. This downplaying of your experience messes with your relationship with your body, okay? Secondary to this, it can delay identification and treatment of serious conditions, okay? So again, like I just said, you may not know what it is, but you know that something is going on that's out of the norm, and nobody should dismiss that, downplay how you're feeling, because only you know what you're actually feeling, and then start to mess with that relationship with your body. Because then you go, oh, well, wait a second. Did I get, like, is that bloating normal? Because it's really painful and it's really sore, but maybe that's just how it is. Maybe I imagined it, or like, you start to second guess it. No, I got bloated. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. Something's going on with my body. I don't know what, but something's not right. So I'm going to go and run the adequate testing, whether it's SIBO breath testing, whether it's stool testing, whether it's urine or hormone testing, so that I can find out what it is, so that I can fix it, so that I can have more confidence, more energy, better bowel movements, get more work done, exercise more, be, you know, a healthy parent, family member, spouse, whoever it is, and show up in the best way possible in your life. That is what this is triggering. And that is what we want to get to the forefront of and go, hey, actually, we're not just so emotional. We're not just making these things up. It's not just IBS. Please stop telling me to just calm down and everything is fine, because I know that everything is not fine. Other things that you might see or hear of is, again, is probably nothing. So, you know, if you're expressing pain, then GP is saying, well, you know, it's probably nothing important. Or the other one I hear a lot is it's just anxiety or it's just stress. So maybe stress less, or it's, you know, just a little bit of a hormonal fluctuations. That's demoralizing the way you're feeling as well, because you're like, well, actually, I'm asking for support and help here. I'm not saying I have anxiety or I have depression or I have these things, but I need some understanding without, you know, going to a shame spiral. I feel like, flip, why am I not just coping? Shouldn't I just be coping with everything that's going on in my life right now? But I'm not. And why? And anyway, insert the overthinking female and off we go from there. So I do think it's important to not just dismiss or add those things. But what I really want to say here is that these things do play a role. If I personally had addressed my stress and my nervous system back when I was 18 and I first got sick, really, really unwell, I would have healed a lot sooner if I had known how to process all the trauma and the emotions and the highly sensitive person that I am and the very empathetic person that I was. If I knew how to separate others' pain from my pain, if I knew how to not go into a traumatized spiral every time I got stressed about university or about family or about finances because I was a uni student, if I knew how to do that, I believe my body would have healed a lot faster. But on top of that, I would have also had to have access to the stool and the SIBO testing so that I could actually treat, because I had so many infections. I still look at my stool test from my early 20s, just like almost 10 years ago now, go, I had never seen one as severe as mine. So I know what my body went through or going through was really, really chronic at the time, but I didn't know that because I didn't have access to testing. So I do know that stress and anxiety and being able to handle our emotions plays a big role in these health concerns of period pain, of autoimmune conditions, of gut stuff. But I also know that it's not the only thing. You do still need to do the testing. You still need to do the hard work of removing infections and reintroducing foods and removing foods, those kinds of things. So that is just an important side note to take note of. The other thing is that being talked over, so having a medical profession go, okay, but as I was saying, and then all of a sudden you're like, you feel like your explanation or what you're trying to tell them is not important, and that they've already made a decision. They've already gone, well, actually, no, as I was saying, these test results from your functional naturopath don't mean anything. Your kelp protection doesn't mean anything. Your SIG IGA doesn't mean anything. The fact that there's bacteria overgrowth doesn't mean anything. What I'm saying is it's just IBS, and you should just, this is my GP voice, you should just eat more fiber, exercise more, drink more water, maybe take laxatives. It's not enough, and we should not be letting doctors get away with that, but that is the reality of it. So it's also understanding that, okay, try not to take that on board. Try not to take on, and especially I see this in gender-specific roles as well. So this is not the norm. Oh, sorry. This is my experience of the norm for me. But I've had this with male and female GPs, but I've had it worse with males when it's come to things like BV, thrush, period stuff, like missing periods for 7 years. The male experience and treatment that I've had has not been as friendly as the female one, because sometimes we hear things like, well, it's just part of being a woman, that's quite normal. Whereas they say a male went to a GP with severe pelvic pain, they're not just going to be like, well, that's just the male experience. Something is going on here that we want to figure out what's going on. Other things like headaches, things that can get dismissed quite easily. But also sometimes there's this push-pull where GPs don't want you to go see a nutritionist or naturopath or go get a second opinion because they believe that theirs is standard. Again, this is not every GP, and there are good doctors out there. Definitely, like, hand on heart, there are good doctors, and I've been helped by good doctors in the past. And inside the Root Cause program, where I help women get to the bottom of these symptoms, we have a list of good doctors that we slowly just build, because it is really important to find a GP where you're happy, where you get the support, and where you can actually get answers for things and get the testing done that, you know, I can't prescribe for you to get testing, or there's certain medications that you need from a GP that I can't help you with. It is important to have a good doctor, but do get a second opinion. So if they're saying, well, no, like, I don't believe in naturopath or nutritionist, I personally would try to just block that out and just go, you know what, I'm here for one thing. I just want to pick up my blood test results, and then I'll go out and leave you to it. But try not to take that negativity on board. I think that is the hardest thing, because when you do get delayed or misdiagnoses, which I see in clients who've spent 10, 15 years going to specialists in the industry and not getting answers, you get doubt, you get frustration, you have that lower quality of life, you feel powerless when it comes to your health. Rather than what we want you to be doing is taking back that power and going, okay, I've had a negative GP experience, I'm going to try and find a medical professional who's really good, or I'm going to work with someone who's a functional testing specialist like myself, who's like, okay, you know what, let's run the stool testing, let's run the hormone testing, let's get some root cause answers. And where we need GP support for, it might be blood testing, although most of that we can get privately these days anyway, but it might be for blood testing, it might be for medication, we will work with them. But I would now, seeing the experience of the women inside the Root Cause program, I would not put hope on seeing a medical professional, but I definitely would engage them for certain steps of the whole healing journey over that 6 months. Always get a hold of your test results from GPs as well. So I think that's a big one, because what they're saying is normal is not always normal. So I do think it's really important that you get your hand on them, go, okay, I'm going to keep these and grab a hold of these because I don't trust them necessarily. And then I can also compare them to my next results. I can take them to my next practitioner and sort of work your way from there. That's my podcast rant on medical gaslighting. I feel really disheartened that women have these experiences. And like I said, like, I hear all the time my Instagram DMs about stuff that's gone on, about the way the medical industry has let women down, the pain they're suffering with, the misdiagnosis, the misunderstandings, the not knowing that there's more out there. And that's always been my thing, because I had 10 years of chronic autoimmune, missing periods, constipation, gut pain, all this stuff, and I saw so many medical specialists and no one had answers. I want women to be able to, A, question these results, B, find someone who can actually help them and jump into a program like the Root Cause program, where you can run that testing that will point you in the right direction. Because if you're busy and on the go and you feel like you're just getting overwhelmed by the amount of information that's out there, you just need some clear set answers and go, you know what, I've got SIBO, so I've got a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, I've got infections in my large intestine, got poor digestion, gonna work my way through healing these and then go from there. Because there is, otherwise it's just you're chasing your tail and you're chasing misdiagnosis and you're trying new supplements and you're not getting anywhere. And I think that is the most frustrating thing for any woman, that you've spent $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 and you're still in the same point and you're 10 years down the track and you're wanting to have kids, or you're entering perimenopause going, I feel terrible and I've had terrible periods for so long and now I'm heading into menopause and I have low progesterone and life's just not fun. I hope that was helpful. Today was a bit of a ranty one. I just really wanted to get that out of my system. But if you want some support, and whenever you're ready, there are 4 ways that I can help you overcome bloating, fatigue, painful periods. So One, you can grab my IBS crash course. So this is how to heal your gut with nutrition. I'll show you how to have regular bowel movements, stop bloating, have more food choices. So that's on my website. It's called Nutritional Strategies for IBS. You can join my Gut Health Solutions Facebook group for health, gut health recipes, tips and tricks. So that will be linked into the show notes as well. Or you can book a health chat with me. So if you ever want some one-on-one help, we can jump on the phone for a quick call and brainstorm how to overcome your bloating, fatigue, and heal your hormones. The link will be in the show notes, or you can find that on my website as well. Just jump into the work with me section and have a look at the root cause program there. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Thanks for coming along for the ride for 150 episodes with me. I'm just so grateful for my community, for the women who have worked with me, for the people I've met in recording the podcast over the last couple of years. It's just been great. So please reach out on Instagram if you ever have any questions. I'd love to point you in the right direction in healing your gut and hormones. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.